You're listening to Revolutionary Mystic, a subversive spirituality podcast where witches of color are disrupting, dismantling, and decolonizing mainstream spirituality with intersectional feminism, ancestral magic, and revolutionary thought. One unapologetic, real talk conversation at a time, featuring your host, international psychic medium, hoodoo root worker, and astrologer, Megan Alexandria.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Revolutionary Mystic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Alexandria, and today I have the awesome privilege and honor of chatting with my friend, Siobhan, and your guest. Hi, Siobhan, how are you?
Hello.
So good to get to chat with you. I get to see your lovely face on Instagram. That's how I discovered you. I found you like at one point, I think it was through a hashtag I was following, and just fell in love with your page and everything. And so here you are. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, your identities, your pronouns, and what it is that you do?
Well, first off, shout out to hashtags.
Right.
Hashtag strategy unlocked.
Yeah.
I am a spiritual practitioner, and I dwell in the spaces of sexual spirituality. I go by the pronouns she and her. Mm-hmm. I am cis femme, hetero cis femme, and I identify myself as female presenting or feminine presenting. I am what I normally call rig glass black.
Love it.
I'm not mixed with anything. I'm rig glass black American, but I identify as a black woman, and I also am a writer by craft. Mm-hmm. So I write spiritual work. I write erotic stories, erotic poetry, erotic novels, and I also blend my love of the occult and my love of eroticism together and write erotic supernatural.
Love it. Oh my gosh. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that I love about your page. And one of the things that, I mean, of course it's Instagram. So like the first thing that grabs you is like the images, and you post amazing images.
Thank
just
you.
Like the most beautiful black erotica. And it's just lovely to have it gracing my feed, you know, just in the middle of my day doing something like totally mundane. And then I'm like, you know, standing in line waiting for the doctor, scrolling through my feed. And I'm like, ooh, look at what Siobhan just posted. Thank you.
Yes.
You know, bringing that magic into everybody's day. I very much appreciate it. And then like to boot, you know, you have this amazing ability for word magic. Like your posts, like the words are just like sensual magic poetry is the best way I could describe it.
Ooh, I like that description. Hashtag that, sensual magic poetry.
It really is though. Like when I am reading your content, your captions, I'm hearing it in your voice because I've seen your stories and watched you on video. So I hear it in your voice, and it also just reads like an incantation, which is very, very beautiful and potent. And there's been many a time where I've just been hanging out reading it, and it's just like, ooh, and now I'm blushing. This is great.
Then I've done my job. Awesome. That is definitely the goal when I write. I want it to be a spiritual experience. I want it to be a cerebral experience with what I write, because I literally take my heart and I pour it on the page. I just kind of like slap it on the page, and I give people a piece of my heart, a piece of my emotions. So everything I write has intent. So if it reads like an incantation, then I've done my job in infusing my intention into the words that I use.
Absolutely. It's received that way. Like I have this belief that, you know, our words are really, really quite literally are magic. And, you know, that stems way back to the Aramaic, like ancient phrase of abracadabra, roughly, and I'm maybe slightly going to butcher this, but it means that as we speak, so it is. And so, you know, if Abracadabra is a magic word, and it means as we speak, so it is. That's a reminder that we breathe life into our thoughts and our intentions through our words. And so I think that's why it's so powerfully felt when I read your captions, even across social media. So thanks for doing what you do. And I wanted to, for the folks at home that may or may not be familiar with your work, can you tell us about where Say It With Sex began, what it's about, and where it's at now?
Absolutely. Before Say It With Sex became what it is, it originally started out as a 5-hour writing intensive for writers and authors who wanted to get better at writing sex scenes and love scenes. Mm-hmm. I was a developmental editor for 5 years, and I worked with independent authors with editing their manuscripts and developing their manuscripts because I love doing story development. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed was a disconnect between what they wanted to convey in these love scenes, the adjectives that they would use, the type of climax that was lacking, the suspense that was lacking, mm-hmm. the breath and the warmth in between the characters that was lacking. I realized that there was a disconnect there. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do was create this course for writers so that they could just be better at writing erotic scenes, because that just kind of became my superpower, being able to write erotic scenes and paint a picture for the reader, and whoever is reading the words can visualize in their mind how the words make sense to them. Mm-hmm. So I started kind of mapping that out and then talking to other people, other writers, or just other people overall. I realized the disconnect with how people are viewing or talking about sex or writing about sex had to do with their own sexual trauma, mm-hmm. being type of physical trauma that they experienced, or if they just had like a horrible sexual encounter that then influenced how they viewed sex, and they mm-hmm. would speak to sex, create around sex, and maneuver their sex energy from that lens. So now it made me take a step back to get to the root, because now I'm seeing this as a sacral chakra atoning. So now mm-hmm. we need to atone our sacral chakra. So from there, Say It With Sex went from a writing intensive to really uncovering how we utilize sex in our everyday life and bridging the gap between sex and spirituality, because many people, or just from patriarchal or Christianity point of view, sex is looked at this linear act that is supposed to be between a man and a woman. And it's not looked at something that is sacred and healing. Mm-hmm. It's looked at as sacred and procreating, or just procreating only, as if you are not supposed to enjoy sex, as if it is a job that you do between you and your partner. Mm-hmm. So now, how do we bridge that gap between sex just being something that is about birthing babies or your marital spousal duty, and now something that you utilize to connect with another human being on a transcendental level, on a healing level for yourself and for your partner. So now we're looking at the different nuances of sex and how that same sex energy, because sex, if we're talking about procreation, then we're talking about creativity, right? Mm-hmm. So now that same sex energy is energy that we can utilize to create and manifest our life outside of body exchange or energy exchange. Mm-hmm. So now we can utilize our sex energy to infuse into our art, to write, to dance, to speak, to create a pottery, to conjure things. If you are a root worker, you may utilize your mm-hmm. sex in that way. So now we're looking at the different nuances of sex energy, but then we're also looking at how we show up for ourselves in sex. So how do we show up in sex? If we are a dominant person in the bedroom, it is more than likely that we are a dominant person in the boardroom. Mm-hmm. If we are a passive aggressive person in the bedroom, it is more than likely that we are a passive aggressive person in the boardroom. So now we're looking at our sexual archetypes and how our sexual language and our sexual personality shows up and spills over across every aspect of our life. So now it's more than just two bodies coming together to achieve an orgasm. Now it's peeling back the layers of how we operate in this space of sex and our sex energy and how we speak about sex and how we utilize that confidence that sex energy tends to give us when we feel secure within ourselves. Now we're looking at the vulnerability that brings out, that's brought out in sex. And if we're able to trust another human being, if we're able to be compassionate and nurturing to another human being, if we're able to stand firm in our beliefs and abide by consent. So now we're getting to the different nuances of what sex and spirituality can be. And it's just an evolving conversation. Say It With Sex went from being a writing course to an evolving conversation that is constantly building and growing. There's so many layers with this subject area and just helping people rediscover what sex means to them and rediscover what pleasure means to them and how they can incorporate pleasure in every aspect of their life.
Yeah. I love that. You know, it's like taking something that from like a colonized patriarchal perspective was mundane, you know, stripped of all of its magic, stripped of all of its divine nature, and reclaiming it in a way that's, you know, restoring all of those things.
Absolutely.
And I love the way that you talked about the evolution, so to speak, of Say It With Sex. And the word that came to mind is like, you know, you were saying it's a continuing conversation with multiple layers. And I was just thinking like, you know, that's quite tantric actually, like, you know, that just ongoing buildup of pleasure and energy and layers and all of that. So, you know, it seems like the work in unto itself is a direct reflection of exactly what you're teaching, exactly what you're sharing, and exactly, you know, what you're creating in that space. So that's really cool. You touched on something that I would love to ask you to expand upon. And that's because I know a lot of the folks listening in are witches themselves. And a lot of them also likely hoodoo practitioners, myself included. And yeah, I'm a root worker.
Yes.
So I would love to hear you speak on using sex in hoodoo and, you know, in any ways that you feel comfortable sharing with us. Yeah. In particular that, you know, are some things that you practice or are you share with others.
So I am not a hoodoo practitioner, but I do dabble in a bit of root work. And I'm still understanding what that means for me. I am a Aberisha. So my religious discipline is Yoruba/Ifa. I'm initiated as an Aberisha and an Ifa Ile. So Santeria is my discipline, but I am a spiritual practitioner. So while I use Santeria as my discipline, as my way of life, I dwell in spaces of Eastern practices. And the way I would guide somebody to incorporate sex into their own spiritual practice is to really understand their space of creation. Because if we're talking about sex energy being birthing energy, how are we birthing and what are we birthing, right? So as a root worker, as a conjurer person, as a practitioner, what are we trying to birth? So if we're doing a love jar for ourselves, what in love are we trying to birth? And how can we infuse or transmute that sexual energy, that passion into whatever type of love jar, honey jar, love candle that we're creating? If we are trying to open a road, what are we trying to birth with this open road? So if the road opens for us, what opportunities are we trying to birth with this open road? And then that leads back into your intentions. If you have to do a little bit of left-hand magic and you have to reverse back something back to someone, when you reverse whatever you need to send back to somebody, what then are you trying to close so that you can birth once you send something back to mm-hmm. someone that tried to block you? Mm-hmm. So it's really now sex becomes this space of intent. The birthing energy becomes this space of intent. So as you are doing your magic, as you are doing your abundance work, as you are doing your love work, as you are doing headspace magic, mental magic on yourself, third eye magic, and you are shifting your mental space and your cerebral cortex and all of that stuff that a person would do with a skeleton candle, right? Mm-hmm. What are we then trying to birth from that? What is now our intent? Because anything that's birthing has an intent to live, has an intent to come alive. So when something is born, it has to breathe, it has to grow, it has to be nurtured. So from that idea or that intent of birthing energy, what are we trying to bring to life? And then what are we trying from that life that we bring in, that new energy or whatever it is that we're trying to manifest and actualize, how are we going to nurture it to grow? So that could be a way to look at how to utilize your sex energy in conjure and in spirituality and infuse it into your work. But everything is all tied back into intent. So if the intent is not clear, if the alignment is not clear, if your intentions are not true, then whatever you try to birth is going to be slightly defective.
Mm.
It's not going to breathe life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that, and I think this is also true of orgasms, come to think of it, when folks want something, you know, the intention can be there, but if it's not backed by a belief or a trust mm-hmm. or a releasing energy,
yes,
it's that much more difficult for that energy to be birth. You know, it's that much more difficult for even an orgasm to happen if you're not in belief that it's going to happen.
Absolutely, because sometimes our body wants to orgasm, but in our mind, if our mind and our body are not in alignment, then it's not going to happen. It's the same with manifestation. So this is how it all ties together, right? If we're trying to conjure or manifest an orgasm with ourselves or with a partner, if we are doing whatever we need, whatever we're doing, whether it is playing with our sacral instruments, what I like to call our sacral instruments. If we're yes. playing with our sacral instruments, or we're using tools, whether it's sex toys, whether we're using lube, or if we're trying to envision what brings us pleasure, even if we're trying to do a tantric version of any type of masturbation with ourselves, or if we're with a partner and we're exchanging energy with a partner, our bodies could be in motion, could be going through the rigmarole of the act of creating an orgasm. But if our mind is not aligned with it, if we are not envisioning ourselves at our highest state of ecstasy, of our highest state of pleasure, if we can't envision ourselves connecting with either ourselves or our partner in that state of ecstasy, then nothing is going to actualize. It is the same way that you manifest. So you can have all the tarot cards, the crystals, the pendulums, the herbs, the earth, the salt. You can have all of these things, cowrie shells. You can have all your deities that you, I don't want to say worship, but the deities that you pay homage to and you venerate. Mm-hmm. You can have all of those tools and you can utilize them in the correct way, how you were taught, or where whatever you YouTubed or whatever type of mass you sat in or some type of communal space where people taught you how to utilize these tools, or even if you're trying to use your own intuition and move intuitively and use these tools, you can do all the practical things correctly. But if your mind is not in alignment with the practicality, if there is no intuitive strength behind all the practical things that you're trying to do, and now we're talking about being aligned with masculine and feminine energy, because the masculine energy is the logic part, the practical part, and the feminine energy is now your intuition mm-hmm. and that utilizing your mind's eye. So if those two areas are not in alignment, then whatever you try to manifest is not going to happen, because now you're confusing the universe. Just as if you are with a partner or with yourself trying to reach orgasm, you're confusing your body, because your body wants to orgasm, but your mind is someplace else, so nothing happens.
Right. So what would you advise to folks, or what works for you when that happens? When your head is, you know, just constantly going somewhere else and you're just trying to rein it back in and be in the present and be back in your body. What do you do for yourself to bring yourself back into alignment?
I breathe. Mm. So there are, specifically if we're talking about masturbation or utilizing sex magic with ourselves, I breathe. So if my goal going in, because sometimes that's what this is, if our goal going in is for the orgasm, whether we're trying to release energy or whether we just want to feel that sensation, because it can be addictive sometimes, if that is the goal and we're not reaching the height of climax the way we thought, then the best way to get back present or to come back to center is to breathe. So now I'm breathing and I'm holding my sacral instruments, whether you have vag or whether you have penis, whichever sacral instrument you have, now I'm holding on to my area and I'm breathing and I'm sending energy in that direction. So that's how I'm now reconnecting with myself. I'm reconnecting with my yoni or lingam or whatever words we choose to describe our private areas. I'm utilizing that energy and I'm sending my breath back down to my center, back down to my core, so I can reconnect with my intention. So if my intention is to reach orgasm, but my mind is trying to get there quicker than my body, I have to reconnect myself with my breath. Mm-hmm. And if I don't reconnect myself with my breath, then I'm not going to find groundedness. I'm not going to find alignment.
It's so true. And it reminds me of like something else too. And I find that like, whenever I'm working a spell or an intention, trying to birth something, anything, you know, and this is like magic as in like witchy magic for sure. And also witchy magic as in sex magic also. Right. Cause that's witchy too. Let's be real.
Absolutely.
You know, it's really important. And this is something as like a psychic I have to be very conscious of, is not time traveling in my mind. And so that's not, you know, let's not have my consciousness be, you know, anywhere else but this present moment. So I'm not, you know, time traveling through the past and not thinking about what happened yesterday or earlier in the day. And I'm not time traveling in the future, you know, thinking about, oh, I have to do this the next morning, got to take the dog to the vet, like whatever all else, because that in and of itself kind of thwarts that energy from connecting too, you know, it creates like a break in the energetic circuit that you are creating with your body and your breath and your intention and all that stuff. Do you find like the same thing for you too, Siobhan?
Honestly, I actually try to do that while I am doing my sex magic, or if I'm with a partner, I actually try to allow my third eye to open a bit. Mm-hmm. Because while I'm clairvoyant, I don't particularly see the way everyone else sees. So I try to utilize that space too, because your defenses are down when you're in that state. You're vulnerable, but then you're open because sex is a portal. So a lot of people forget that as well. Sex is a portal. And if you allow yourself, if you surrender to the energy that is happening with yourself or with you and your partner, you can travel. Your mind can travel. You can see things. So I try to use that time, specifically if I am communing with myself on a sexual level, I try to allow my mind's eye to relax so that I can actually travel and see whatever manifestations I'm trying to bring, whatever intentions I'm trying to bring, so I can see whatever messages that I need to receive, whatever type of downloads that I need to receive, and I can connect with myself on a higher level. But I understand for clairvoyants such as yourself, if that's something that is easy for you, trying to remain tethered to this realm,
yeah,
you're not every place else, can be challenging. Do you keep crystals around you, like a black tourmaline? Or
ooh,
like
yes, I do. Yeah. I do. And you know what it just made me think of, speaking of clairvoyance, is maybe I should get some like black tourmaline or onyx like waist beads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That would be nice. And those would be your sex ritual beads. So you don't go anywhere.
It's so true, you know, and this also applies for, like, you know, other highly sensitive folks. You know, some of us do struggle with being on this plane. Like, my spirit wants to be anywhere but this plane, and you know, it's something I have to be very cognizant of. But that could be an excellent strategy, like Siobhan was just saying, like, you know, keeping those crystals. I love setting up a crystal grid that's specifically for my bedroom and specifically for my bed and, you know, the act of having, you know, sacred pleasure and sex in the bed. There is a rose quartz point lantern on my nightstand.
Ooh, fancy.
Well, I used to work for an internet company that sold crystals. So right before I left that job, I got to use my employee discount and I got it. But yeah, it is kind of fancy. But, you know, it's really cool to like turn it on. And it, you know, it creates like mood lighting for sure. And it also activates that energy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds beautiful, because rose quartz is a sensuality crystal. Like, even if you want to create a crystal grid with crystals that are grounding, that keep you tethered, like a tourmaline, an onyx, a jet, or an obsidian, creating a crystal grid that way and then looping it with maybe a rose quartz, an amethyst, a garnet, those sensuality crystals, a carnelian, which is also a root chakra crystal and a sacral chakra crystal. So creating a crystal grid like that, that still allows your body to remain tethered into this realm, but also allows you to transcend into your own pleasure and release any type of inhibitions that may prevent you from reaching your highest state of pleasure. So that actually is a really good idea to do that. Because sex is a ritual and we should make it pretty.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you know, that's a wonderful like decolonized perspective to look at it, that it's a ritual, that it's a sacred act. And, you know, that there's connection with the divine happening there, connection with other realms, connection with your intuition, and so much. Like you said, it's a portal. And I love how you call, you know, your sexual parts your sacred bits.
Yes.
So wonderful. I hope you have that as a hashtag and you should like trademark that.
I should put that should be on my next set of t-shirts.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I'm like, I need a t-shirt sticker, like something that says like I heart my sacred bits or something like that.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm working on t-shirts now, so I'm going to work on that.
Oh, perfect.
I like that.
And, you know, I'm thinking also of, because there's also a lot of folks listening that are sex workers too, that, you know, you can be highly intentional with your crystal grid and your cam space, if that's in your bedroom.
Yes.
And or if that's where you're taking clients, keeping good protective stones around and also like cleansing stones around, because like we know your energy is tight, but other people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because it's part of the reason why I came up with the whole guide. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote How to Hold Properly, I was in a situationship with a guy. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't know he was engaged. And I take responsibility for that, because I didn't ask enough questions to find out that he was engaged. Mm-hmm. And when I found that out, we ended the relationship. And I was having a conversation with one of my girls. And I was vaguely talking about the situation. And that's how I started this. And I think you may have seen it. That's how I started this last year on how to hold properly. And I just turned it into a guide. But then from there, I was like, well, you know what? Because I am hashtag pro-ho, that is a hashtag. So I'm hashtag pro-ho because I believe in the sex workers. And I think, and a lot of people have this stigma towards sex workers. I think it is amazing for a man or woman, a femme, queer, whomever, to see the value in their own body and be able to utilize that to help others spark and evoke pleasure within themselves, mm-hmm. to be a fantasy for someone, to allow them to hold space to enact their fetishes and their kinks, because our shadow self is not viewed as something of a good thing. It's always viewed in a negative connotation. And mm-hmm. sex workers create spaces for people to explore their kinks, to create some sense of alignment, some semblance of alignment, some semblance of oneness with your light and your shadow self for those people. And I don't think people understand how important that is to create balance in that way. Mm-hmm. So my thought in that was, why don't I create a whole series? So it would be the guide, it would be a bath, because you need to be able to cleanse your energy. It would be a spiritual bath. You need to be able to cleanse your energy in between clients. You need to be able to cleanse your energy after you've seen clients. Then there's a whole tea that allows you to replenish your own sacral energy so that you can always be your best self and show up as your best self when you're working with clients. Mm-hmm. So for the sex workers that are there, stay tuned. I'm working on the whole care packs. So hell, stay tuned.
Hell yeah. I love that. And it's like, you know, it's important, like with just like with any job, you know, to maintain an energetic sustainability and maintain your self-care and, you know, all of that good stuff, because any job, you know, if done enough times and a variety of situations, can be like depleting. And so I find, especially like the vast majority of the folks listening in are very likely energetically sensitive, you know, empathic even. And so a lot of us have to take that into consideration, like throughout our workday, and, you know, how are you caring for and managing your energy? You know, how can you feed and fill your cup? And I imagine that perhaps spending some time with your sacral bits will probably help you fill your cup too.
It helps. It does. It helps. It also helps release excess energy that does not belong to you. And I talk about that a lot, because whether people believe in being empathic or being intuitive beings at all, as humans, we absorb energy, even when we don't think we are, and even when we don't want to. And as much as we shield and white light protect ourselves and spray Florida water all over ourselves and in our bra and selenite wands inside our pants, and it doesn't matter how many tools we use to arm ourselves, we are still going to absorb some type of energy. So first recognizing that you're going to absorb energy regardless, and then creating your own type of self-care ritual that can include communing with your sacral bits, that can include creating a crystal grid and allowing yourself to meditate after work. It could include smoke clearing with a juniper or a cedarwood. It could include using a rose water mixture that maybe you've made yourself, or maybe you've purchased from another practitioner, that allows you to sweeten your aura and to calm your aura and relax yourself. So there's so many things that we can utilize, whether we are sex workers, whether we specifically if we are spiritual practitioners, because our work is energy. And whether or not we decide or want to or try to tap people tap into us. Mm-hmm. So specifically because we are spiritual practitioners, we need to be able to pour into ourselves, release things that don't belong to us, and properly manage our energy and create self-care rituals. And even for those who aren't practitioners or spiritualists at all, who may dwell in other religious communities, as a human being, you need to have some type of release of energy, of excess energy for yourself, and some type of self-care ritual. And it's so important to incorporate that into your daily life.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think even like I think it's like widely even culturally understood, even though it's not necessarily like spoken out loud, you know, there's that whole thing where you come across somebody and you get this like feeling of like, wow, like that person really just probably needs to get laid. And
word.
You know, and that's a thing. And what we're sensing there is like kind of what you're saying is it's like, for lack of better words, like an energetic constipation.
You know what I mean? Pent up energy. It is. Absolutely.
And it's like irritating their system, and it's just like vibrating through them and like coming out in their words and their behaviors.
We need to write about that. You need a sex laxative. We need to both. We both need to tag team on a post called "You Need a Sex Laxative."
Yes. And I was just thinking also, like, we should tag team a kit together, because I have I have products for the hoes that follow my work. I have a whole ho hustle line, and it's specifically money drawing for sex workers.
And oh, I love it.
Yeah, thank you. It has like built into it. So it's not just money drawing. It's also money drawing and protective, and also has some properties for like sexual, I guess, bewitching properties, and also a little bit of like power and control. So that way you have the upper hand at all times.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So I think it would be really cool to put, you know, those things together for those folks, because I just think that would be a lovely like care package for them.
It would. It would. I'm down.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so great. Siobhan, I wanted to ask you, do you use, or how do you feel about yoni eggs?
So a friend gifted me a yoni egg, and I like them. There are a couple of what I like to call pussy practitioners. I want to hashtag that, but I can't put that on Instagram. They'll be done shadow banning me. But there are a lot of pussy practitioners who either shy away from the yoni egg, and I understand why they do. I think as a femme, a woman femme, or however you identify yourself, that would be something that you should use it. You should determine at your discretion. I like the yoni egg because it is allowing you to infuse the magical properties of that particular crystal with your intentions straight into your sacral energy up. So it's not just lingering around in your womb area. It's you taking that energy that's almost from your root and sending it straight up to your spine so that it can have a holistic healing. You can have a holistic healing experience. And of course, it's strengthening your pelvic floor. It's creating a space of command and confidence, because when you have control of your vag, when you have control of your yoni, you feel a sense of confidence. You feel a sense of connection. You feel a sense of ownership of yourself. It's an agency over yourself. So for some women, I believe yoni eggs are great, because a lot of us femmes and cis women alike have lost agency over ourselves, have lost agency over our body. So I believe a yoni egg with the right intentions, the right crystal with the right intentions, can reclaim that space of agency for oneself. But then I also understand why some practitioners shy away from the yoni egg, because there are certain things like a twerk class or simple breathing or having command of your pelvic floor, not just your walls, but your pelvic floor, and being able to command that, utilizing tantric moves and breath movements and hip movements, you can create the same or achieve the same results without the yoni egg if you learn how to have control of your body. Mm-hmm. But I understand that a lot of women and femmes may not have the patience to work on that, or may just need to identify where those parts are. Mm-hmm. Because as much as we wash ourselves on a daily basis, we may touch ourselves or whatever, but identifying our strengths internally is a totally different thing. So if we can't actually identify the strength in our pelvic floor and in our walls, and how to actually grab the egg and hold the egg and utilize our lips in that way, if we don't know how to identify those points to work on, then trying to do something without a guide or tool such as a yoni egg can be self-defeating, or it couldn't have at all.
Yeah, it's like, I totally get it. And for some reason, it's reminding me of watching people. So I used to be a professional belly dancer many moons ago. But it reminds me of when people discover belly dance for their first time, or dance in general, and they are starting to make that mind-body connection. Yes. And connecting those neural pathways. Mm-hmm. And you know, getting in touch with parts of yourself and the mental connection to cells in your body that you don't ordinarily like access. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you're going about your daily routine, you're not necessarily accessing your pelvic floor. And it's always an empowering process whenever anybody discovers dance, and especially belly dance. Just that getting really connected with your body and really tapping into muscles you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just is like, it's that agency piece, like you were saying. And so I think you're absolutely right. For some folks, a yoni egg is an easier way for them to access that, because it establishes like a kinesthetic learning piece to it that some folks may need. And the other cool thing about yoni eggs, you know, part of the reason why I brought them up is because I just had a feeling. I was like, if I have Siobhan on my podcast, I'm gonna get like 50 emails from people being like, oh, I want to know about, could you ask Siobhan about yoni eggs, because it's a very popular spiritual thing.
It is.
And they're pretty cool. One of the things that I like about yoni eggs that I used them for was it was when I had the epiphany about, you know, that the penis is essentially a magic wand, and and allowing that to enter your body, and that like everything else, energy collects where we don't cleanse it. And so even though we physically cleanse and, you know, we do chakra cleansing, et cetera, and so forth, that there was something particularly awesome about the idea of getting, I believe the one that I have is obsidian or onyx or something, one of those beautiful black stones, and using that and clearing out energy from like old lovers and like, you know, mm-hmm. past trauma and things like that, like really helped move old energy just out of that sacred portal, so to speak, you know?
Absolutely. It is a great tool of womb healing. And like you said, we collect so much from past lovers and trauma. Some of us have traumas with our mothers, with our grandmothers, with our aunties. So healing that feminine space of that nurturing, caring, and giving and receiving from that space. And a yoni egg such as an obsidian or an onyx is perfect for that, because they absorb all the negative energy, all the negative electromagnet energy that may be within our body from vibrators.
Yeah.
type of tools that we use that are battery operated or have some type of electromagnetic wave or something like that. So it's cleansing, yeah, of that. So that totally makes sense, because womb healing is a real thing for queer femmes, men, for everybody. Womb healing is a real thing. And specifically for femmes, if we can utilize something so small as a yoni egg or medium size, depending on your comfort, if we can utilize that to aid in the process, because it's not an end all be all, but it is a tool that we can utilize to aid in the process of cleansing that excess energy, so that we can use our sacral energy to create the life that we want. Some of us can't even manifest because our sacral energy is clogged. So a yoni egg can do something so simple as open a road or clear the energy so that we can begin to create and manifest and use that, utilize that energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So like, if you're one of the folks at home who is, you know, working a love drawing spell or, let's see, a road opener spell, like you were saying, any of those like red and orange colored candles, mm-hmm. If you notice, they quite, you know, literally correspond to those lower chakras. If you are burning through those 7-day gloss candles and they're coming up black or they're just not, you know, burning correctly, giving you, you know, good results, that might be one way you can, you know, work energy to move in your favor. You know, check and see if you've got some energy blocked down there. And it's as simple as like spending some pleasurable time with yourself. Like, what if the difference between you and opening the road to, you know, the career path that you're, you know, trying to attract or manifest into your life is as simple as like, oh, I forgot that I've been so busy grinding for the last 3 months that I haven't had an orgasm. Like, what if it's as simple as taking, you know, however long out of your day to really open up that pathway in your body?
Wow. I mean, something so simple as that could be life-changing for someone.
Yeah.
That is life-changing. Like, wow, all I need to do is probably just have an orgasm and, huh, road open. Like, it really could be that simple. It really could be.
Yes. Well, and it reminds me of the other thing that I am picking up on that I know folks are wondering about and wanting to ask you. Interesting, being a psychic. I'm getting a lot of the question of using orgasms to manifest and, you know, all of that stuff about raising your vibration, because when you orgasm, that's like peak vibration, because you're in ecstasy. And so, you know, for folks listening at home, Siobhan, could you share a little bit about like how that works, why that works, and, you know, if that's something that you use in your own practice?
So I had a Save with Sex group on Facebook, but I had to archive it because I kept getting put in Facebook jail. So I'm just,
oh no,
I don't really utilize Facebook for Save Sex. But when I had the group, we talked about sex magic because so many people have questions, and people really genuinely do have questions because they're interested in it and they see people talking about it. They see other practitioners talking about it, and they're asking, how do I incorporate it in my life? And as I was still learning about sex magic, because I feel like there's so many different nuances with it, you're never like really an expert because there's so much to uncover with that space because it's a mysterious space. So I started just testing things out on my own and really trying to work on visualizing, which is why I was saying I don't try to tether myself during masturbation or even having sex with a partner, because I'm trying to open my third eye is more than what it is, which, yeah, I probably don't need to do, but I'm, yeah, trying to open my third eye. So the secret that I found, here's the secret. The secret to sex magic is in your breath. And the way you channel the energy is as your body is reaching the peak of orgasm, as the orgasm is starting to build, you have to think of that as your life force, as your energy. And as your energy is starting to build, you have to ujjayi breath. You have to literally inhale, like in deep inhale, and then exhale. Like, you really have to do back of your throat, deep breath, and you have to breathe all that energy in, and then you have to suck it in and then breathe out. Mm. And that begins to elongate the time of your orgasm, so that as you are reaching the highest height of your ecstasy, the highest height of your vibration, you can either speak your cantation, you can either visualize what it is that you want, you can say out loud what it is that you want, and then that is how you connect your sex energy to what you are trying, the seed, your seed of manifestation. That's how you plant the seed, but it starts in the breath.
Yes. 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 I'm like, folks at home, try that 5 times and tell me. Let me and Siobhan know what it's done for your life. Because we know, you mm-hmm. know.
And it starts in the breath. That's the secret, the breath.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exactly like you're saying. It's that, I mean, they even talk about it when you're doing yoga. It's that fire breath. You're breathing it. You're breathing life force into whatever it is you're envisioning, whatever it is you're saying out loud. And it's taking it from somewhere internal and making it external. So you're literally bringing it from, you know, the inner dimension into the external, which is the beginning of a materialization of a manifestation. So that's totally perfect. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. I really hope that helps somebody. Definitely let us know.
Yes, please tell us.
Tell us.
Let us know that you, you know, conjured up $5,000 or whatever it was.
Man, just tag me in that post. Just tag me in that post. You don't even have to give me the money. Just tag me in the post and let me know.
Absolutely. That's perfect. And, you know, the other thing that, so we've been talking a lot about breath, and the other thing about sex, the other element that I'm thinking of is, you know, like our sacred fluid and our water. And I was curious if you utilize any of that in your witchery, so to speak.
I haven't gotten that far because I feel like there's levels to witchery and I'm not at that level just yet. But there are plenty of women who are at that level, and the things that they are able to do with their own sacral fluids, with their own nectar is amazing. But I have not reached that pinnacle yet. I still call myself a baby bruja. So I still call myself a baby witch, though there are plenty of people who would beg to differ.
I was going to say, I beg to differ, but, I get it. I get it. You know, I know particularly I'm thinking of for folks that are wanting to know at home, like, what can you do with that? I will tell you first and foremost that menstrual blood in particular is meant to bind your energy to something. So, be cautious of, you know, who and where you're binding yourself what to, you know.
AKA no sex on your period, okay?
Yeah. unless that's what you really want.
Right.
Be conscious because that's what that is used for. And another thing is you can also discreetly, if you wish. There's a lot of things that we do discreetly on the low. And so if you get somebody else's fluid, you can use it in a spell to keep them attracted to you, to keep them bound to you as well.
You can use it in oil. You can use it in a spray. Not that that's what I do, but that's what you could do.
Yeah, this is what I hear. And, you know, if you are wanting to keep somebody faithful to you or to your commitments, if you're not in a monogamous relationship, if you want to keep them faithful to your agreed upon boundaries, you could also put some of your nectar on the bedding, like deliberately, or on some of their things. You know, and it's kind of like an energetic marking of territory, so to speak. But like Siobhan was saying, you know, a lot of us root workers and witches will anoint candles and stuff with our nectar because that's powerful creational fluid, if you think about it. I know probably a lot of you at home are like, oh my God, that's pretty intense. But if you think about it, it's just creational fluid, you know, and it's not only used for birthing babies, like Siobhan was saying earlier. I forget what age I figured that out, but that has become like my default response to when people ask me why I'm not having children. I simply respond with, because I have other things that I'm birthing into this world. You know, so you don't have to like feel bad for me. Like, oh, like, no, I'm birthing other things. So don't worry. I'm not missing out on like, you know, getting to nurture anything. You know, there's even, if you think about like the work of being a root worker, there's lots of folks that I help nurture and, you know, things like that. So, you know, I'm not missing out on mothering.
Not at all. Because mothering is not just actually, like you said, having your own physical children. You are a mother to your ideas. You are a mother to your business. You are a mother to your peers, to your colleagues, to children in your community. You're a mother to your pets.
Yeah.
So many ways that you can utilize that mothering, nurturing, birthing energy. It's not, we have to, well, our society has us view things from a linear scope. So when you get into a space of unlearning linear thinking and really looking at things from a broader perspective and looking at the different nuances of how things apply across every aspect of your life, then you can see, like, I don't may not have physical children, but this business that I am building is my child. That is my baby. Mm-hmm. And even when you launch an idea, you that thought, that feeling of launching something, it's almost like you almost feel like you birthed something because it's finally done, and you have this sigh of relief, and now you get to watch it grow.
Exactly. And that's why, like, mirroring what you said earlier, you know, like, Say It With Sex just kind of like took on a life of its own and is a continuing evolution. It's continuing to grow just like anything else you would birth into the world. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Sense. Say it with sex is my baby. I love that. You know, I wanted to know, Siobhan, what made you start all of this, like, sex magic stuff? Like, what was your calling like for you?
I think it started when I finally indulged in erotic poetry. My introduction to sex was at a very young age, and that was just for me being nosy, listening to adult conversations. So that was my introduction into sex. And because I grew up in a traditional Baptist home, I had questions about sex, my own discoveries, my own feelings, things that I just wanted to know, but I was apprehensive and afraid to ask because I grew up Baptist. And in an Abrahamic faith, when you start talking about sex outside of the ideology of marriage, just outside of the institution of marriage, then that is it's a no-no. It's what people call a sin. So a lot of things I just kind of had to explore and learn on my own. And I came into myself sexually when I went to college, which most women do. They come into themselves when they go off to college. And I wasn't a sheltered child. At least I don't believe I was a sheltered child. But I got to discover who I had my first orgasm at 18. And I didn't know what was happening because there were a lot of different things happening to my body and nobody explained to me what an actual orgasm was. So when that happened to me, I was like, what is that? I need to have that again. So I always talk about my hoe phase, and a lot of people look at a hoe phase as something negative or as if you are running your body into the ground, but really your hoe phase is your space of exploration. Mm-hmm. You get to understand your nuances. You get to understand what you like, what you don't like, how you can communicate sexually, what your sexual preferences are, any kinks that you like that you can uncover. When I was in college, I uncovered a lot of fetishes and kinks that I had. And when I came back home, I had to kind of reconcile with closeting my shadow because of the family dynamics that I had. And it wasn't until I found my space going to different, interacting with people in the club scene, connecting with other artists, writing my erotic poetry on different online magazines and different publications, that's when I started to kind of reconcile with sharing my shadow. So while I couldn't outwardly express it in the public because I was a church girl at the time, I utilized these different written mediums to indulge into my shadow. And I created a character, L.T. Robinson. That was my pseudonym. I wrote under a pseudonym because I used to teach. And I didn't want my employer to find Siobhan on Mars, which is my government last name. I didn't want someone to find Strong Mars on on a title on Amazon, and it's talking about erotic poetry. So I was trying to keep my job, and I created a pseudonym, and ironically, I got laid off.
What?
After I published my book. I got laid off. So I could have just wrote under my given name, or I could have wrote under Siobhan L, which is what I'm doing now. But writing became my release. So for anybody that's listening that is exploring their sexuality and trying to find their way through their sexual journey, find a medium. That could be dance, that could be writing, that can be art. That is how you begin to connect with your sex energy, through a creative medium. So you find a creative medium to be able to express what could be your shadow space, and you utilize that to really understand the nuances and the depths of who you are. I'm a Scorpio moon. So I utilize the written word to explore the depths of who I am and toe the line that I couldn't particularly do in public. I toe the line in the written word, because I am not the only person who thinks the way I think. And there is somebody else who feels the same way that I feel, but does not have the voice. So now I utilize my shadow space. I utilize Say It With Sex. I utilize my writing as a voice for those who may feel voiceless or who may feel alone and need someone to connect in that way. And then that then helps them be able to find their way, their path on their own sexual journey, and begin to explore what pleasure means to them or what sex means to them. So that's really how I got to where I am. Writing has been my saving grace. It's been my release. It's been my best friend. It's been my husband. It's been everything to me. I have come into womanhood through writing. I have grown and developed. As I've grown and developed, as my perspective has broadened, as my experiences have gathered and given me wisdom, it now reflects in my writing. So writing is a part of my own spiritual journey. It is a part of my sexual journey, and it is a part of my life's journey. Finding a creative medium that allows you to grow and has an open space for you to explore, which is very Three of Wands for anybody who does tarot. It's a very Three of Wands space. So you just need a blank canvas with space and opportunity that allows you to paint this picture how you see it. So if you are someone who is trying to find their way through their sexual journey, find a creative medium that will help you greatly.
Mm-hmm. And allow it to be whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, much like sex is not neat and perfect, it's divinely messy.
It is.
And, you know, just letting it be whatever it is, I think, is, you know, a lot of things. People get really nervous at the word creative. It's like anytime you suggest creativity to, I would say, maybe 2/3, if not more, folks, they go, "Oh, well, I'm not really creative," and it always like hurts my spirit, because I'm like, "Oh no, but you are," you know, because I can see it, and it's almost like I just want to, like, you know, hold the mirror up for them and look at, you know, can you see, like, all of these things that you are creating? You create so much, you know, in your field of existence, and to give yourself permission to do so in a way that is playful and sensual and expressive, you'd be surprised at what's, you know, able to come through you when you, like you said, Siobhan, when you give yourself that blank canvas and you hold the tools in your hand and you just let it out, whatever it is. When you write, Siobhan, do you feel like you channel when you write?
Yes, I do. I actually, when I do characters, because character development is another one of my superpowers. So when I have characters, if I'm writing a story or if I have a story idea in my head, my characters literally have conversations with me. I can hear them. I'm clairsentient as it is anyway. So I can hear spirit speak to me. I can hear my spirit guide speak to me, but I hear my character speak to me, and they have full-on conversations with me about their journey, about who they are, about their different nuances. So I definitely channel the energy of whoever's trying to come through, and it could be a past life, or it could be another spirit that wants me to tell their story. I explored the notion that that could be what that is, and why I'm able to be so poignant with character development and really build characters that are very lifelike, that are relatable, that people have a connection to. I could very well be channeling someone's spirit. I could be channeling someone's past life that has a story that wants to be told, and they utilize me as a medium. I do automatic writing when that character or that energy begins to speak to me. I don't write. Well, I write, but it's not my words. It is the words of whatever character or whatever spirit is speaking to me. So I don't edit what comes through. I write it as is. And then once they have shared with me their story, once I'm able to get that particular character story out, then I go back and make it look pretty. But in the creative process, in that beginning stage, I just allow whoever is talking to me, whichever character is speaking to me, or whatever spirit is trying to say to me, I allow that to come through first without edit, without bias. I don't try to infuse my own words there. I don't try to say, oh, well, I wouldn't say it that way, because it's not me talking. Mm-hmm. It is spirit talking to me, or it is that character talking to me. It is their story, or it is their knowledge that is being imparted onto me. I am a conduit. So I understand that as a writer, that I am a conduit of divine words, creative words, erotic words, sensual words. And I utilize myself as a medium in that regard.
Yes. I am feeling that so much as a fellow conduit in a different way, but that resonates so deeply. And what's interesting that I saw while you were speaking, I saw that, you know, perhaps one of the other things that's happening, Siobhan, because maybe there's more than one thing happening, but mm-hmm. one of the things that I saw is you are birthing these characters, you're creating these characters, and they do have spirit. And so, you know, when you channel them, it's because you created them. They are like we were just talking about, they're a living, breathing entity of their own, in many regards, even if they're, you know, not necessarily fit in physical form like you and I, but if you're creating them, and then you're also channeling them, that makes total sense to me. It makes perfect sense. And it's like, almost like that's like the perfect way to write things like character and story and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I did do writing coaching, I haven't done it in a while, but when I did work with other writers, and when I had clients, when I would say you have to let the words speak through you, it was difficult for a lot of people, because if you're not attuned to your own energy, then you are in the practice of orchestrating things or trying to control things. Mm-hmm. And when you tell people to allow something to move through you, that requires them to surrender. And surrender is a very scary thing for people who need to be in control, and for people who don't like uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And that type of creative process that allows you to be vulnerable, like what we were talking about, allowing things to be messy and things to manifest as they are or actualize as they are, that exploration of the unknown, which is a shadow type of thing, that exploration of the unknown is scary to mm-hmm. so many people. And we can even map it back to someone's sexual journey, just allowing themselves to explore themselves or their partner without being prescriptive, without saying, okay, well, I do this with my partner. I start with oral, or I start touching my partner, or I start with the massage, mm-hmm. or we're facing each other first, and then we're moving around from different angles and different positions. So instead of in your mind trying to prescribe how you should move, allowing yourself to be attuned to the other person and explore that dark that dark rabbit hole of the unknown and allowing that sexual experience to actualize as is. It's the same with your creativity. It's the same with manifestation. Instead of trying to orchestrate it and control it or follow a prescription or follow a regimen, allowing the adventure of the unknown to take hold and guide you.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I venerate Lilith. And so I work a lot with shadow work and just that walking within the unknown and the mystery. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You know, moving with your senses, all of that speaks very much so to working with Lilith. And it reminds me so much of her. It's something also I teach, you know, anybody that I work with on their intuition. You know, when folks are having blocks around their intuition, one of the things that I recommend to them is actually a writing exercise that was given to me when I was in dance school. And because it's like interdisciplinary, you know, if you like the writing work helps you as an artist, and you're an artist first and foremost, and you also dance. So one of the exercises comes from this brilliant book. I wonder if you've seen it or probably maybe even used it. It's called The Artist's Way.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a really cool workbook. And anybody who's a creative, I don't care. And if you're saying, oh, I'm not really a creative, I'm just going to call your bullshit right now. Everybody's a creative. And it's a wonderful book that, yes, is geared towards writing, but you could apply it to anything. And one of the exercises in that book has changed many lives, and it has certainly changed my life, and it's called Morning Pages. And so...
Oh, I do Morning Pages.
You do Morning Pages?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it's where you get up in the morning and it's like the first thing you do is just stream of consciousness, like automatic writing on a piece of paper for a set amount of time or papers, and whatever comes out, comes out. And it doesn't have to be intuitive gold. Most times it's not. And that's not it's not necessarily the point of, or the purpose. Morning Pages is to move energy. It's to move energy and free up some space inside of your consciousness for all that wants to come through, to be able to come through. And you'd be really surprised, because people could get really frustrated with morning pages. Usually when I give them that as their homework, and I'm like, I always tell them, like, you're going to be mad at me come like day three or four. However, it's to your benefit. Even if you're sitting there for the first 5 days writing, I don't know how to write, I'm really tired, this is stupid, yada, yada, like, doesn't matter. Just keep going. Keep going. Because what's underneath all of that shit, that's what we're trying to get to. And so it's that point of release, like you were saying. You got to get through all of that, like, digging your heels in the mud on your way up, you know, to your intuition, until you get to that point of like surrender when you're, and that the reason why we have you do it in the morning is because it's kind of like sex, where you're like, you're vulnerable, you're open, you're tired, and you're, it's just easier to come through that way, because your logical mind, your linear mind, your masculine thinking isn't trying to dominate and control. All that's trying to come through. So, you know, if you're a creator of any sort, or if you're simply wanting to build your intuition, highly suggest 5 to 10 minutes of morning pages for, you know, if you can do it, dedicate, I would say at least 1 week, but I usually tell folks like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you use those, Siobhan?
When I started writing my first novel, the publisher that I worked with was also a writing coach, and she challenged me to do morning pages because I was going through a creative block. So that also helps when you're going through a creative block. So I started doing the morning pages then, and then I haven't done them in a while. Maybe it's been maybe about a year and a half since I've done morning pages. So I would get up in the morning and just kind of brain dump, like, what energetic cache do I have? What dreams can I recall? What messages may I have gotten? How am I feeling this morning? So I really just kind of tapped into my own energy and allowed myself to be present. And again, writing without bias, not trying to be perfect, not trying to be grammatically correct, not trying to write it looking pretty. I just literally allowed my brain, because stream of consciousness is my favorite literary device. So I just allowed myself to just flow. On the paper, just flow, get it all out, whatever emotions, whatever thoughts, whatever questions, whatever contemplations I had, I just wrote it all out on the paper. And I felt my brain felt clear. My mind felt clear because now I'm starting the day with a fresh mind. So the challenge with that for most people is that, and I'm guilty of this too, most of us wake up and we go on social media. So now you have to substitute social media with morning pages, and it's like, well, crap. Well, I get my news from Twitter, or I get my information from Facebook, or I commented on something and I want to know if people commented back. Well, you have time to do that because social media is always going to be there. So that's, and we're talking about rituals, right? That's something that you can make a ritual, put on, some Theta Hertz, which is now my new favorite binaural beat. So put on some 128 Hertz meditation music, brew you some tea, and write.
Yep. Heck yeah. Because if you think about it, you're utilizing your mind. So you're working the element of air. And you're putting it down on paper, so you're working the element of earth. And then you are drinking tea, which is the element of water. And then, you know, what ends up coming through onto those pages, eventually, once you get through all that overnight brain clutter, that's where the fire element starts to come through. And it releases that fire. And then it's like a complete ritual. And then you've started your way your day in a way that is honoring you and your ability to channel and be a conduit for anything. Because if we're talking about, all of us are creative because we all create in different ways, you know, creative doesn't necessarily mean artist. It doesn't necessarily mean writer. It doesn't mean dancer necessarily. I mean, it means all of those things. And it's also just living your life too, you know? So that's perfect. Siobhan, before we get going, I want to ask you, I forgot to ask you, what has brought you joy in the past week? Like, you know, what has been good for you on your path?
For this week?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically having back-to-back interviews, which is the first time in my life that I have had back-to-back interviews. It is the first time that someone has interviewed me since I started Say It With Sex last year. It's the first time someone has ever interviewed me and asked me about Say It With Sex. So I looked forward to this week because one is Leo season and I'm a Leo. Second, it is August and August is my birth month. And three, I feel like I'm in this space with Say It With Sex that the work that I'm doing is impactful and that people are interested in what Say It With Sex is and want to align with me and want to collaborate with me and want to build community. And that brings me joy because I'm so passionate about Say It With Sex. I'm so passionate about being that conduit, about being that oracle for people, about being the medium for folks and being the teacher and allowing the secrets, the keeper. I am the keeper of the secrets. So allowing myself as the keeper of the secrets to share the knowledge imparted through me or imparted to me by the divine and my own personal experiences, my own academic knowledge and everything that has been infused to create the wisdom that the divine has bestowed upon me to be able to share that with others and to create and to connect with other like-minded spiritualist, be them femme or be them masculine, to connect with other like minds and really build my own community outside of friends or outside of what other people have tried to drag me into or think I should be doing, and to really create something specific for me and work with the collective consciousness to raise the vibration in not the most typical way, because everything we do is unconventional. Mm-hmm. My approach to sex and spirituality is unconventional because there are so many people who are sex practitioners, who are spiritual practitioners, who talk about the connection between sex and spirituality, but we all have our own medium in which we do things differently. So being able to carve my own path and then find people along the way that share that path, that has been what has brought me joy this week, and knowing that Say It With Sex is on this brink of notoriety that mm-hmm. I can't even fathom. Like, I don't even know what, because this is not even about me. I'm just here. They mm-hmm. just, the divine gave this to me to present to the world. So it's not even about me. I'm just thinking about the broad space of people that I am about to connect with, and the amazing dope shit that we're getting ready to do. And this feels like the beginning of something amazing, mm-hmm. and the connections that I make. Like, that has brought me joy this week.
Yes. Yes. just honoring everything about that. I just feel like, and here you are, like, this is you participating in this grand revolution, you know, in this mm-hmm. precise coordinate of time and space in our evolution of what it means to be human, what it means to live here and now. And, you know, I believe that we are in a process of great revolution and change. And, you know, that's why I asked you to be here with me, because I know that the work that you are doing is revolutionary, and that's part of what I'm hoping that folks will see through this podcast, is that revolutionary work is, it looks like many different ways. And most importantly, it looks like you, and it looks like me, and it looks like everybody who's listening. And it's simply taking, you know, what your magic is. You know, you heard Siobhan mention her superpowers more than one time, right? Like, like, you know, what you kick ass at, and you are offering it up. You are being a conduit for the divine to channel that through you, to share it with as big of an audience as you possibly can, so it can impact and, you know, shift the collective. And, you know, in my eyes, that's just beautiful ancestor work. So I thank you and honor you for being here with us and allowing us to take in your wisdom and magic, Siobhan.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I'm so honored that you asked me to be a part of this amazing space that you've created for blitchy girls like me. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. I love that. I love that word, glitches. It's perfect. I just want us to take up as much space in the witch community as possible.
Yes.
I'm like, black witches exist, brown witches exist, right. And there are hella of us. And I'm just gonna put us on blast until it's very apparent. Okay, perfect. Siobhan, can you tell us, like, you know, where people can find you, your work, and how they can support you, whether that's through social media or if you have a website, you know, books online to purchase, or if, you know, they've learned something from you, which I can't imagine anybody listening to this hasn't possibly learned something out of all this wealth of sacred wisdom and knowledge. Perhaps they'd like to compensate you for your labor. I'm, you know, opening it up for if you want to tell them what your Cash App or your Venmo is, so that way people can tip you, et cetera, in addition to, of course, you know, being paid to be on the podcast. But can you let us know like, how can we support your work and elevate you?
Absolutely. I am on Siobhan L, that is S-H-A, V as in Victor, A-U as in umbrella, G-H-N as in Nancy, L-E-L-L-E. I literally took my middle initial and spelled it out. So Siobhan L, I am across most the major social channels. So Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, I am Siobhan L. On there, my Cash App is Siobhan L, and my Venmo is also Siobhan L. Mm-hmm. I am Siobhan L all over the place. I am on Medium.com, Siobhan L. So you can find me on Medium.com. That is my current blog space. Both my website, Say It With Sex website, and Siobhan L are in construction. I had to take a step back and regroup and work on my virtual footprint so that I can provide a space of traffic area where people can come and receive my content and engage with me in the best possible way. So I'm working on getting that together. For anybody who would like to book a reading with me, you can book a reading with me at On Siobhan L on Instagram, and also Say It With Sex on Instagram as well. Say It With Sex is on Facebook, but if you really want to engage with the content on Say It With Sex, Instagram is the place to be. So Say It With Sex all together. You can book a reading with me. I do love oracle readings. I do a standard reading. And I'm working on doing a sexuality forecast. I'm still working spirit on that and how to incorporate tarot and astrology together to really help people understand their sexual language. So that's something that I may offer towards the end of the year, beginning of 2020, quarter one 2020, or just quarter one for all the glitches that follow the astrological calendar. I am still LT Robinson on Amazon.com. So you can find my very first novel, A Tale of Two Spirits. It's Gemini Moon Rising, A Tale of Two Spirits. It is 99 cents on Kindle if you got a budget. If not, you can order it on paperback. And that is L, the letter L as in love, dot T, as in Tom Robinson. A Tale of Two Spirits is on Amazon.com. I do have a YouTube channel, but I haven't been on there in a while because I've focused on being more in the written word. But I do a weekly insights and guidance for anyone who wants to see the work that's on YouTube. I'm Siobhan L on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Awesome.
You can find me there, but I do weekly insights and guidance on Instagram, and I post on Facebook. Currently, my Instagram page is private, but you can send me a request. I do stalk people before I let you into my space. So if you request me and you don't get an immediate answer back, it's because I'm stalking you. But Facebook page is open, so you can pull up the weekly insights and guidance on there. So I do weekly insights and guidance, and I also do an energy report, which can be found on my Medium blog on Medium channel as well. And I think that is everything.
Ooh, and the How to Hoe Properly guide.
Oh, the hoe guide is downloadable on Say It With Sex Instagram page. You can download the whole guide. It's a link in my bio on my link tree. The whole guide is $1.11. I don't want to hear no words. I don't want to be like, oh, it's too expensive. It is $1.11. It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Don't play me. Okay.
And it's worth it. I'm telling you. Even if, and especially if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm not a hoe. I'm like, hoe, get that guide. You are. We all are. And it's time everybody gets pro-ho. Okay. Well, yes. Join us here in 2019 where we are pro-ho. So.
Hashtag pro-ho. Stay tuned for the t-shirts because the t-shirts are coming.
Hell yeah. Hashtag pro-ho. That's perfect. And you know, everybody listening at home, I will have all of these links, all of these ways that you can find Siobhan. They will be listed on my website. They will be listed on Patreon and, you know, whichever podcast listening platform you're joining us from, you'll be able to get all of those hyperlinks and information. So that way you can support her, follow her, buy her stuff and elevate her sister, because that's what we got to do. We got to support each other. So Thank you so much for being here, Siobhan. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm like glowing. I'm like, oh, this was a magical evening. I'll have to have you back on here because I imagine I'm going to get a slew of questions.
I'm ready anytime.
Yeah, maybe we'll go live on Facebook or something like that sometime.
Oh, that would be dope. I would love to go live on Facebook.
Yeah, that would be super fun. So yeah, we'll have to plan for that coming up here soon. And everybody at home, thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to give us a good podcast review, whether you're on iTunes or Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you're joining us from. And of course, if you think this show is dope, because it is, share it with your friends. And until next time, I send you all so much love, power, and blessings, and we'll be tuning again soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Revolutionary Mystic Podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please consider supporting it on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/revolutionarymystic. All of our guests are paid as part of a movement to hashtag actually support witches of color by creating financial equity. You can also check out the online Hoodoo Botanica, book psychic readings, take online classes, apply for the scholarship program for witches of color, join the free Facebook group, and watch Witch Tips on my YouTube channel by visiting revolutionarymystic.com.